I'm only going to use this mic, so I don't have the lapel one, so I'll just stay right here. Great to see you again, church. I am so glad that you're able to be with us today. Again, we do have a host of folks that are out of town, but I am so glad you are here. I do want to make mention of some that we certainly want to remember in prayer that I did not mention just a moment ago. First of all, remember, please, Lance Shavers in your prayers. George was just informing me that Lance had to go back to the doctor this morning. They think he may have pink eye in both eyes. So he is miserable, I can guarantee you that. Also, George told me that Sam had to go home not feeling well. So please remember them. Sister Beverly Hall, please add her to your prayer list. She has very bad shingles. Kathy told me that, I believe, last night. So please remember Beverly in your prayers. Also add to your prayer list Marcia Polk. Sister Sarah had texted me about her. She is very sick, and so we want to remember her. And then also, as Mike mentioned, remember, please, the Kemp family, Brother Ray. They had to leave out already. He lost his stepmother late Wednesday night. So please remember them in your prayers. A lot of folks to be praying for. A lot of things going on that could cause us to be down. But you know what? Today is God's day. And we need to fill up. We need to be happy. We need to rejoice. Steve has done a great job in leading us in our singing as always. He opened up with number 470. By the way, a song that has been a favorite of mine since I was a little boy. Did we sing it with all our heart? I heard an old story, how a Savior came from glory, how He gave His life on Calvary to save a wretch like me. I heard about His groaning, of His precious blood's atoning. Then I repented of my sins and won the victory. I heard about His healing, of His cleansing power revealing, how He made the lame to walk again and caused the blind to see. And then I cried, "Dear Jesus, come and heal my broken spirit." I then obeyed His blessed commands and gained the victory. I heard about a mansion He has built for me in glory. And I heard about the street of gold beyond the crystal sea, about the angel singing and the old redemption story. And some sweet day I'll sing up there the song of victory. Oh, victory in Jesus, my Savior forever. He sought me and bought me with His redeeming blood. He loved me ere I knew Him, and all my love is due Him. He plunged me to victory beneath the cleansing flood. If you didn't sing that song, you know, maybe as it was our opening song, Steve had a song as we were gathering together about coming to worship to this place. But as we opened up in that song, maybe you were writing contribution checks, or maybe you were, you know, collecting your things, and I'm not getting on to anybody with that. But maybe since it was our opening song, we weren't thinking about it. Folks, I hope, my prayer is this. My hope is this. By the end of this song, we're not going to wait till we get up there to sing the song of victory. That we'll walk out of here today singing about victory that we have in Jesus Christ. I'm tired of the devil winning. I'm tired of the devil tempting us to walk around defeated, to walk around downtrodden, to walk around melancholy, you know, to not feel like we should. We are Christians today. As I said earlier, Glenda Wilkes and Jim Wilkes have huge smiles on their faces. You know why? Because she's able to worship today. She's happy. She's rejoicing. And that's the victory we all have. That's the victory that is offered to all of us. Today, we don't have to be defeated, because Jesus Christ came out of the grave. And we can stand victorious. I pray that through this lesson, if you have not walked victorious, that we'll change that today. We'll repent and win that victory. We'll gain that victory. We'll sing that victory. You might recognize that guy there. I've said this before in a sermon before. That is Rocky Balboa. I know it's really Sylvester Stallone, but I like to believe he's real. I've seen Rocky more times than I probably should admit. But in Rocky II, there's that scene. You can see Rocky. He's been beat up by Apollo Creed. Apollo came out after the first match with Rocky, and he decided that he took Rocky II lightly. He comes out in the second match, and he takes it to him. He's ready. He's focused. He's prepared. He knocks Rocky down about three times in two rounds. Well, Rocky finally gets back up. He goes back to his corner, and he makes that very famous statement, "I ain't going down no more." I know that our English professors are upset with that statement, but that's what Rocky said. He said, "I ain't going down no more." And folks, I say that to say this today. The devil is doing his best to beat you down. Maybe he's won. Maybe today your health has got you down. Maybe today your job has got you down. Maybe a lack of income in the checking account has gotten you down. Maybe the rain has gotten you down. Maybe whatever has gotten you down. Maybe it's sin that's gotten you down. Well, I want you to go back to the corner, and this is the corner right now, and I want you to listen to the corner man. That's God. He's saying, "I don't want you to go down anymore." And we've got to get that mindset today. I am not going down anymore. He's given me his best shot. He's tried to hurt me. He's tried to cripple me. But enough is enough. I'm not going down anymore. Can we be honest with ourselves? If we cannot be honest with ourselves, then this sermon's not going to work very well. We need to ask ourselves this question. Are we trapped? Do we feel trapped? Do we feel like we can't get up off the floor? Are we trapped in sin? Lust is very strong. Jesus knew lust was strong. In fact, he pointed it out in the Sermon on the Mount when he told them, "You have heard it said of old, you shall not commit adultery. But I say to you, if you look at another woman to lust after her, you've already committed adultery with her in her heart." That happened 2,000 years ago, and it hasn't gotten any better. In fact, there are temptations everywhere, and lust is a major problem. Are you trapped in that? Have you been knocked down with that today? Maybe it's gossip. I believe gossip is the number one committed sin on the planet. That's just my opinion. I have no facts necessarily to back it up. I haven't done an evaluation on that. But I believe it's the number one committed sin. Some people thrive off of it. We thrive off of it in our circles of life, our circles of influence. We thrive off of it in our computer world, in our social media world. We just love to hear a good story and share it with others. Do you want to get out of that? I hope you do, because it is a sin. Then we got to get off the mat today. Maybe today you are trapped with hate. Maybe it's pornography. Maybe it's alcohol. Maybe it's drugs. Maybe it's lying. Today is the day. If there's ever, I can't promise you tomorrow. I can't promise you next Sunday. But I can promise you right now. Today is the day to get off the mat. Today is the day to make the point, I am not going down anymore. And if you and I do that, and we do it together, then we will come out of here shouting victory in Jesus. The book of Romans is one of the greatest books in the Bible. They're all great, all 66, but I love the book of Romans. It is such a great letter. And by the way, Paul didn't write chapters. He wrote a letter to the church at Rome. And so in writing that letter, he gives us some great things. But there are at least three occasions in the book of Romans that the phrase that you see on the screen behind me is shared. And it simply says this, set free from sin. Can we have a saying in all the Bible that's any better than that? We might have some that's just as good. But think about this life that we're living, a life of entrapment, a life where the devil is the prince of the world. Now, Jesus is King of Kings, but Satan is still prince of this world. And he is walking this world, and he is roaming this world, because he knows his destiny is hell. He knows he's not going to be able to make it. He knows that he is going to be tortured for all eternity. So the only way he can get back at God is try to take you and me away from him. But here's what Jesus did. He set us free from sin. Three times in Romans chapter 6 verse 18 is one occasion. And having been set free from sin, become slaves of righteousness. Another time in Romans 6 verse 22. But now having been set free from sin and having become slaves of God, you have your fruit to holiness and the end everlasting. I better put my glasses on. I can't see it. But now having been set free from sin and having become slaves of God, you have your fruit to holiness and the end everlasting life. Then in Romans 8 verse 2, for the law of the Spirit of Christ, of life in Christ Jesus has made me set free from sin and the law of sin and death. Think about it this way. If Jesus Christ has purged it from our lives, okay? Jesus Christ has purged it from our lives. Guess what? We are free. It's gone. And it can be gone. But we've got to have Jesus. We've got to live our lives for Him, and we must surrender that control. You know, we sometimes can't win the battle because we're not committed to fighting the war. Folks, there's a war. There is a war going on. And you cannot be a part-time soldier. Let me tell you this. If we are part-time soldiers, we will not be ready when we have to face the enemy. And the enemy will win. You see, when we commit to God, it's a full-time commitment, isn't it? It's a full-time relationship. A time when we are going to put Him first. A time when we are going to take up our cross every day and follow Him. If you're only taking up the cross, if I'm only taking up the cross part-time, then we're part-time soldiers. And we're going to get destroyed. Satan is working day after day, minute after minute, time after time. He's working on you and he's working on me. We better be ready because it is a war going on. And so we can't do this part-time. We've got to commit to the fight. Some might have this attitude, I'll never win this addiction. I'll never kick this habit. I'll never beat this sin. Going back to Rocky on the slide before this, if Rocky went back to the corner and Mickey said, look, Rocky, I'm just going to throw the towel. You know, he's knocked you down a couple times. You know, you can't beat this guy. He's a champion of the world. I'm just going to throw the towel. By the way, we would have not had Rocky III and all the 100 others that they made. You know? If he'd have thrown the towel and given up, it would have been over. I'm not ready to throw the towel in. You can't be either. Heaven is too valuable to miss it. If we miss heaven, we've missed it all. Hell's too hot to go there. And it's for all eternity. So today, we do not need to be defeated. We need to stand in victory. But there are some things that we need to do. There are some mini battles that we need to win if we're going to win this war. And the first of those, and all this is going to come, go ahead and turn your Bibles to Romans 6, please. The first of those is we need to receive victory with our minds. Receive victory with our minds. I want you to look now, in just a minute, at Romans chapter 6. Jesus made this statement before we get into the text. He said, you shall know the truth. And the truth shall set you free. Think about that. You shall know the truth. And the truth shall set you free. You remember when Pilate asked the question, what is truth? Truth was standing right in front of him. And we need to know Jesus Christ today. We do not need to know Him just to as a glimpse in our minds. We need to know Him in our minds. We need to receive this, and this victory comes starting in our mind. If we're going to walk around victorious, then we must know the truth. Romans 6, beginning in verse 1 now. What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? Certainly not. How shall we who died to sin live any longer in it? Or do you not know? Again, there's the word know now. This is mind stuff. Do you not know that as many of us as were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into His death? Therefore, we were buried with Him through baptism into death, that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. For if we have been united together in the likeness of His death, certainly we also shall be in the likeness of His resurrection. Here's the word know again. Knowing this, that our old man was crucified with Him, that the body of sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves of sin, for he who has died has been freed from sin. When we obey the gospel, when we are baptized into Christ's death, buried with Him under that water, come up to walk in that newness of life, that means, yes, we're going to act differently. Because we are part of the ecclesia, the called out. But we must think differently. You see, it starts in our minds. And that's where we have to receive this victory, first of all, in our minds. We've got to be able to think like a victorious Christian. We must think like Peter and Paul and John and Silas. You remember when they were... Peter and John, when they were put on trial and threatened not to teach in the name of Jesus, they didn't walk around like cowards. Oh no, what are we going to do? The big bad wolf is going to eat us. No. They said, hey, we can't help it. You've got to do whatever you got to do to us. We can't help but teach about Jesus Christ. They went back and they prayed for boldness. They didn't walk around defeated. They were victorious. Paul said he was thankful to be able to suffer for the cause of Christ. He counted it joy. He and Silas in prison in Acts 16, they're not feeling sorry for themselves. They're not feeling defeated. They're singing songs of praise to God and praying prayers and leading jailers and his family to Jesus Christ. We get down and out and we just give up. You want to talk about closing the back door of the church? Then let's walk around and let's be victorious people. It's catchy. It's contagious. Let's live rejoicing, but it starts in our minds. Romans chapter 12. Taylor came and read to us from Romans 12, 1 and 2. I beseech you therefore, brethren, to do what? Present your bodies a living sacrifice. How can we be holy, acceptable, pleasing to God? By the transforming of what? Our lives, starting by doing what? Renewing our minds. You see, our minds are such a valuable thing, we shouldn't waste it. We've got to fill it with good. We've got to fill it with what's right. I want you to remember this. By Jesus dying on the cross, if I were to ask you, what did Jesus do when He died on the cross? Your answer may be, well, He paid our debt. He did. He absolutely did. He paid the price for our silly, stupid, whatever word you want to put there, sins. Okay? Ridiculous sins. He paid the price. But that's not all He did. Folks, maybe the greater thing that Jesus did is He broke the power of sin. Sin had such a hold on us that it took Jesus Christ to break the power. And He broke it wide open. That today we do not and should not be slaves of sin. We shouldn't walk around defeated. We should walk around victorious. sin is like a bully. Sin and bullies have this in common. You know what bullies are? They're manipulators. I'm going to beat you up if you don't give me your lunch money. That's manipulation. I'm threatening you so you will do something to me. And there's a lot of manipulation and bullying that goes on in families and churches, I would imagine, and relationships. But sin is the same way. Satan is the same way. He's trying to he manipulated Eve into eating the fruit. He's a manipulator. He's going to twist it and turn it so that it looks good, feels good, and we do it. How do you stop a bully the same way we stop Satan? We stand up to him. But you stand up to him with Jesus Christ. I love the shirt. It's been a long time since I've seen it, but there was a shirt that went around that said, "My Jesus beat the devil with a big stick." And it was a picture of the cross. You know, Jesus won. Victory in Jesus. And that's what we've got to do. We've got to believe that in our mind. Look at verse 8. Now, if we died with Christ, we what? Believe. Where's that start? In the mind. Now, if we died with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with Him. Anybody in here doubt where you're going? Don't answer it right now, but you ought to answer it in your mind. Anybody in here doubt if you're going to heaven or not? If there's any doubt in your mind, then why would you not make that right today? Listen, I don't get bonuses for people coming forward and getting baptized. But if there was ever a day you're going to walk the aisle, today ought to be the day. Folks, if I leave out of here not feeling victorious, then that's on you. And it's on me. We have the opportunity today to defeat sin once and for all. But it starts in our minds. Number two, we receive victory in our minds. We got to believe victory in our hearts. Look back at the text now. Romans 6, beginning in verse 9. Knowing, there's the word know again, that's mine, that Christ, having been raised from the dead, He dies no more. Death no longer has dominion over Him. For the death that He died to sin once for all. But the life that He lives to God. Likewise you also, reckon yourselves to be dead indeed to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus our Lord. You know, my children, they may not know this, but they have a name that they must live up to. You know, I am proud to be a Kegel. I'm proud that that's my name. That's their lineage. That's who they are. And I do not want them to embarrass the Kegel name. I do not want my wife, my family does not want me to embarrass the Kegel name. But guess what? When I obeyed the gospel of Jesus Christ, I took on a new name. And that's the name Christian. I took on the name of Jesus Christ. When we belong to God through Jesus Christ, we do not just have a name to live up to, we have a legacy. A legacy to live up to. Verse 11, the word reckon there, listen to this. It's also, in another version, consider. I think the English Standard Version is consider. Maybe the NIV is count. Reckon, consider, count yourselves to be dead indeed to sin. That is the word logizomai. Logizomai, okay? That means to count on or to bank on. Now, I want you to think about it this way. When we think of it that way, if we are crucified with Christ today, we can bank on it, right? What does that mean? That's an accounting term. You can bank on it. That means there is nothing, you take it to the bank. And that's the same thought process. If we are crucified with Christ, we can bank on it, then we are dead to sin. But that has to start in the heart. Our hearts have to understand that. Our hearts that are so valuable. Our hearts By the way, the breastplate of righteousness, that's what covers the heart. The helmet of salvation, that's what covers the mind. Some of you might think, well, yeah, I'm a Christian today. I'm still struggling. I don't know if I'm going to heaven or not because I don't feel like I'm dead to sin. Well, let me tell you this. I love you enough to tell you the truth, and please take this as love. It doesn't matter what we feel. If we say, I don't feel like I'm dead to sin, it doesn't matter what we feel. The truth said, if I belong to Jesus, I'm dead to sin. Okay? We can bank on it. We can bank on it. Well, then why am I still addicted, teacher, preacher, Terry? Why am I addicted to sin? Why am I still struggling? Well, unfortunately, we may be dead to sin, but sin's not dead to us. The devil's still coming. But when we have the not defeated mindset, but when we have the winner mindset, sin, you're not gonna get to me. If you get to me, I'll just turn away and the blood of Jesus will cleanse me again and I'll move on. I am going to win. So, here's what we've got to do. We've got to receive victory in our minds. We got to believe victory in our hearts, and there's only one thing left to do. We achieve victory by our will. Look at the rest of this now, beginning in verse 12. Therefore, do not let sin reign in your mortal body, that you should obey it in its lusts. And do not present your members as instruments of unrighteousness to sin, but present yourselves to God as being alive from the dead. And your members as instruments of righteousness to God. For sin shall not have dominion over you, for you are not under law, but under God's, I'm adding this part in, God's amazing grace. Okay? When our minds are right, when our hearts are right, then we're going to act and do what is right. When our minds are right, when our hearts are right, we're going to act and do what is right. If we slip up, we have amazing grace. We have the blood of Jesus. We repent. We press on. But for the most part, we're going to do what's right. When Lazarus, I don't know the answer to this question, but when Jesus raised Lazarus from the dead, you think he's like, hey guys, how are y'all? Good to see you. Wish I was still dead. I doubt it. I really doubt it. I imagine there was a lot of hugs and kisses and loves and high fives or whatever, okay? Did you hear what he said? You hear what Paul said? He said, I am going to present yourselves to God as being alive from the dead. How would you be if you died and came back to life? You wouldn't be defeated. Then why are we walking around defeated as Christians? Why? Why are we doing that? You say, every part of our body needs to be offered to God. That's what he said there. Present yourselves. Everything I have, from my hands to my feet to my mind to my heart, God, it's yours. Use me. That's what a Christian does. They don't go and let their hobbies get in the way. When somebody is fully committed to God, you don't have to preach sermons on, you ought to be here, don't let your hobbies get... They won't let their hobbies get in the way. They won't let jobs get in the way. They won't let family get in the way. They don't let vacation get in the way. They won't let selfish desires get in the way. When I am fully committed to God. If my heart is right, my mind is right, then my life is going to be right. I'm going to say and do the things I'm supposed to do. We have a choice. We have a choice. We can use our lives to build the kingdom of God, or we can use our lives to destroy our own souls. That's as plain as I can put it today. We can use our lives to build the kingdom of God, or we can use our lives to destroy our own souls. In verse 17, but God be thanked that though you were slaves of sin, yet you obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine to which you were delivered. Paul said there, you were slaves of sin, but you obeyed. It's time to stand up to sin. It's time to stand up to Satan. And it's time for us to stand in victory. Do we receive it? Have we believed it? Are we setting out to achieve it? Do you want to be victorious? Or do you want to keep wallowing in self-pity? Today, I pray you choose victory as together we stand and sing.